And now for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about unconditional love is the answer. As most of you know, I wrote a book to help pastors and churches with the use of public relations to reach the unchurched in their community. Generally speaking, pastors have no training in the use of public relations. And I had a year of graduate training in public relations and was a professional public relations director for 10 years. At any rate, after my book is published in 12 to 18 months, I need to contact pastors and churches. And I found out that there are, hold your breath on this one, there are 48,000 Christian denominations in the United States. Can you believe that? 48,000 different denominations. They each have their own view of theology, and they often disagree on many things and many beliefs. However, there is only one place where Christians can be found to agree, whether they are Roman Catholic or Southern Baptist or Lutherans or Pentecostals. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. The controversial priest, Father Daniel Berrigan, was once asked, if Christ lived today, how would he be regarded by the political establishment? Father Berrigan answered, if Christ lived today, the question bewilders me. I thought he was living today. If not, can somebody please tell me the meaning of the empty tomb? Maybe he just went out to lunch. Or the meaning of the lives of all of those who have died to say he lives, from the apostles to, say, Archbishop Romeo. Maybe they were all foolish charlatans. This is a powerful response. Father Berrigan and Billy Graham probably would not agree on many things, but here they are brothers. Some of you will remember when President Richard Nixon got carried away in excitement in 1969 when the Apollo astronauts first landed on the moon. Richard Nixon proclaimed it as the greatest day since creation. Billy Graham solemnly reminded him of Christmas and Easter. Philip Yancey says, by any measure of history, Billy Graham was right. This Galilean, who in his lifetime spoke to fewer people than would fill just one of the many stadiums that Billy Graham has filled, changed the world more than any other person in history. He included a new force field into history and now holds the allegiance of one-third of the population of the earth. Today, Yancey continues, people even use Jesus' name to curse by. How strange it would sound if when a businessman missed a golf putt, he would yell, Thomas Jefferson. Or if a plumber screamed, Mahatma Gandhi, when his pipe wrench mashed his finger. We cannot get away from the fact that Jesus is there in our world every day in many, many ways. In our scripture for this morning on Luke, the second chapter, the 22nd to the 33rd verses, there was a man in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon. Simeon was a righteous, devout man. It had been revealed to Simeon that the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had laid his eyes on the Messiah. And the inspired by the Spirit, he came to the temple. And there he saw the young couple bringing their son according to the custom of the law. And suddenly Simeon knew here was the one he had been waiting for. And he took the child up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A rough-hewed preacher named John the Baptist, anointed by God, was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Somehow he too knew the Christ, and he cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me. Both men, of course, were speaking of Jesus. Simeon recognized him when Jesus was only a baby. John the Baptist recognized him as a young man. What was there about this man, Jesus, that was so unique that without saying a word he made such an impression? Was it his appearance? In today's world, style is more important than substance. Broadway composer Andrew Lloyd Webber was commenting on the casting of the lead on the lead play for the play Jesus Christ Superstar. Andrew Lloyd Webber says, Jesus has got to have sex appeal and star quality. Does he now? Is that how you see Jesus? With sex appeal and star quality. Modern images of Jesus are fascinating. Norm Evans, former Miami Dolphin football lineman, wrote a book, and it was entitled On God Squad. In it, he says, I guarantee you Christ would be the toughest guy who ever played this game. If he were alive today, I would picture him as a 6'6", 260-pound defensive tackle who would always make the big plays and would be hard to keep out of the backfield for offensive linemen like myself. Fritz Peterson, a former New York Yankee baseball player, more easily fancies Jesus in a baseball uniform. I firmly believe that if Jesus Christ was sliding into second base, he would knock the second baseman into left field and break up the double play. He might not throw a spitball, but he would play hard within the rules. That's interesting, isn't it? Is that how you imagine Jesus? After living in Europe and Asia and traveling extensively, I've come to the realization that artists who portray Jesus usually do it in their own culture. Over in Europe, you know, Jesus is a white Caucasian. In Asia, Christ is an Asian. In Africa, Christ is portrayed as a black man. This is as it should be. But on the two occasions that I visited the Holy Land, I realized that Jesus was probably a dark-skinned man. But whatever, we know nothing about Jesus' appearance. Evidently, his disciples did not think it important to tell of the color of his eyes or the breadth of his shoulders. It probably was not his appearance that made him impressive. His teachings, were they what made him impressive? Yes, the teachings were superior, but it is amazing how different people read different things into his teachings. More than 50 years ago, Bruce Barton, an American advertising agent straight from Madison Avenue, wrote a bestseller book entitled The Man Nobody Knows. Barton's thesis was that Jesus was able to start the most successful movement in history because he preached the message and used techniques that the best experts in the modern advertising profession are only now beginning to put into practice. Barton suggests that Jesus was a master of applied psychology who 2,000 years ago anticipated all that Dale Carnegie would teach us about winning friends and influencing people. Barton said Jesus had a charming personality. He claimed Jesus knew how to sell his product And if he were alive today in the flesh, he would undoubtedly use television to get his message out as extensive as possible. According to Barton, Jesus was the ultimate sales manager and motivator. It was Barton's conviction that he came to teach us the principles for being successful and dynamic people. I wonder if Jesus doesn't get a good laugh out of all the people who have cast his teachings in their own mold. Jesus was a great teacher, although he admitted that everything he taught may be found in the Jewish law. C.S. Lewis, in his book, God in the Dock, objects to the idea that Jesus was simply because his teachings. He writes, "We may note in passing that Jesus was never regarded as a mere mortal teacher. He didn't produce that effect on any of the people who actually met him. He produced mainly three effects. Jesus produced three effects, and those effects were hatred, terror, and adoration. There is no trace of people expressing mild approval of Jesus. If it wasn't his appearance and it wasn't his teachings that cast the spell on the people, what was it? We have to conclude, I believe, that it was his unconditional love. Love came down at Christmas, as the little carol goes. Nobody loved like Jesus loved. No one was too young or too old, too rich or too poor, too sinful or too sanctimonious to be within the realm of his love. We say that we are saved by the grace of God, and God's grace is free and unmerited acceptance of unworthy sinners. Jesus was the living embodiment of that grace, and ultimately, it cost him his life. In his book, Becoming a Whole Person in a Broken World, Ron Don Davis tells about a young woman named Marie who was admitted to a mental hospital in Europe. She was in a terrible emotional state. She had been reared by violent, abusive parents. At the age of 12, she saw her mother and father in a horrible, drunken argument one night. They were fighting and struggling over a gun. Suddenly, the pistol fired, and before young Marie's eyes, her father fell dead. Little Marie's mind snapped. She was filled with pain and frustration and hatred. She retreated into a fantasy world, but it too was violent. Marie would scream and scratch and hit and curse at anyone who came near her. She was placed alone in a padded cell. The attending physician tried several approaches with no avail. She seemed only to become worse. Finally, the doctor decided to try a then common therapy called catharsis, the venting of rage upon someone else. A nurse named Hulda volunteered to be the victim. Every day, Hulda would enter Marie's padded cell. For a full hour, Marie would curse, kick, scream, hit, and scratch Hulda. Then, exhausted, Marie would crouch in a corner like a frightened child. And the nurse, Hulda, battered, bruised, and sometimes bleeding, would go over to Marie and hold the child tenderly in her arms, rocking her gently and saying over and over again, "Marie, I love you. Marie, I love you. Marie, I love you." Little by little, this message of love got through. Little by little, Marie was able to respond with tears and affection. And in time, Marie became well. She became a whole person. She was healed by sacrificial love. On a deeper level, It's the kind of deep love God gives to us in Jesus Christ. As the scriptures put it, by his stripes we are healed. Deep love, unconditional love. That is what is unique about Jesus Christ. No one ever loved like he loved. No one ever accepted people like he accepted people. 2 times Olympic gold medalist Bob Richard was put it like this. One reason why I think a great deal of Jesus is he never pointed out the weaknesses of people and never dwelt on their failures and shortcomings. He always thought of the dream that God had for their lives. He never emphasized their failures. He simply said, go and sin no more. Be what God intends you to be. Now, what has this got to do with you and me? Peggy Noonan was a celebrated speechwriter for President Reagan and President Bush. She is also a critical acclaimed author. Recently, she told about an execution in Oklahoma. The bad guy had raped and then stabbed to death a 20-year-old and stayed there to watch her die. He was put to death with a lethal injection. Her family watched on closed-circuit television. Later, the woman's brother told a reporter, we promised he would not go unpunished, and we wanted to be there to represent her when justice was finally carried out. Peggy Noonan writes, we cannot judge them. We haven't been in their shoes. But I can't help but be most impressed by, of all the recent crime stories, another one of those, also from Oklahoma. Sue Norton's parents were brutally killed in a double murder. And the murderer was on death row. Sue Norton is fighting hard to get his sentence changed to life of imprisonment. Why? She states, if our world is going to change, we have to move past hate and learn to love with unconditional love displayed by our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the unconditional love See that unconditional love is the only hope the world has? That's why we must let the world know about Jesus. That's why we need to carry on the work of Simeon and John the Baptist and proclaim that he is the Christ. Not because of his appearance, not even because of what he taught. Although he was the greatest teacher who will ever live, but because of who he is, the Son of God, the very embodiment of unconditional love, the love you and I need to live out in our world as well. We are living in a time of love. The Christmas spirit is with everybody about this time of year. And we can unconditionally love someone we know. I know it's hard to love someone who has wronged us, but we've got to try. Begin by praying for that person every day. Ask God to come into their lives and bless them. And then think of that person as being a human being, and human beings make mistakes and do things without thinking. Haven't you made some mistakes in your life? I know I have. Then accept them as a person and forgive them. Keep praying. Pray. Keep accepting them. Ask God to help you love them unconditionally, and God will help you. We all need God's help. Let's ask God to help us in silent prayer this morning. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life. Forgive me and help me to forgive and love others unconditionally. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time for silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning. Forgive us of all of our sins of the past, and help us to love others unconditionally, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.